Chapter 4. Aileen brought back with her the cot and hose her brother had worn, and the cloak that had covered him, and herself carefully brushed and folded them. The shirt no one should ever wear again. She would burn it and forget. But these stout garments of good cloth must not go to waste in a world where so many went half naked and cold. She took the neat bundle and went in at the Abbey gatehouse, and finding the whole courtyard deserted, crossed to the ponds and the gardens in search of Brother Cadfael. She didn't find him. The digging out of a grave large enough to hold 66 victims, and the sheer repetitious labour of laying them in it, takes longer than the opening of a stone tomb to make room for one more kinsman. The brothers were hard at work until past 2 o'clock, even with every man assisting. But if Cadfael was not there, his garden boy was, industriously clipping off flower heads dead in the heat, and cutting leaves and stems of blossoming savoury to hang up in bunches for drying. All the end of the hut, under the eaves, was festooned with drying herbs. The diligent boy worked barefoot and dusty from the powdery soil, and a smear of green coloured one cheek. At the sound of approaching footsteps, he looked round and came out in haste from among his plants, in a great wave of fragrance which clung about him and distilled from the folds of his coarse tunic, like the miraculous sweetness conferred upon some otherwise unimpressive-looking saint. The hurried swipe of a hand over his tangle of hair only served to smear the other cheek and half his forehead. "I was looking," said Aileen almost apologetically, "for Brother Cadfael. You must be the boy called Godric, who works for him."
"Yes, my lady," said Godith gruffly. "Brother Cadfael is still busy. They're not finished yet."
She had wanted to attend, but he wouldn't let her. The less she was seen in full daylight, the better.
"Oh," said Aileen, abashed. "Of course I should have known."